Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I'm actually going to read from the 16th verse of chapter 5. It's found on page 1173 of the Bibles provided. Well, I'm trusting it is because I haven't checked with the new batch of Bibles we got this past week. I'm assuming it is. Is it on page 1173? 1175? Okay, well, we're close. So we'll have to remember then we're two pages behind each time. Chapter 5, verse 16, I'm going to read through to the verse 10 of chapter 6. This is God's word. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the flesh, the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading of his word. He will also reap. Of course, what is applicable to man is also applicable to a woman. It's a natural law of cause and effect. What you do has a consequence on your life. applied to the farming world, what you sow in terms of the seed you place in the ground will determine what crop you harvest during the harvest season. The quality of the seed that you sow in the ground will also have a determining factor on the quality of the harvest that you will reap. The amount of crop that you sow in terms of seed will have an amount directly on the harvest that you will reap. What is true of the natural agricultural world is also true of the spiritual world. And that shouldn't surprise us, because God, who has created the field, has created us as human beings. God, who germinates the seed and brings forth the harvest in due season, germinates the seed of his word and light in our lives and brings forth the harvest in due season. We have met and possibly know people who say they believe in Jesus Christ. People who have said that they have walked in the ways of Jesus Christ. But today, they haven't been at a place of worship. In fact, they weren't at a place of worship last week as well. They haven't been at a place of worship for a month, possibly 6 months or a year. And yet, you like me can look back and think of them as those who sat here in this building or sat in another place of worship, if you've known them to have attended another church. And they were serious about the things of God. They didn't take them frivolously. They didn't simply sit there for the sake of being seen to be sitting there. They were conscientious in many ways in their participation within the life of the visible church. And yet, they are in the situation they're in today. Why is that the case? How did that come about? Is there a warning in that for every one of us? Well, it would seem that it has come about because they are reaping today the sowing that they have engaged in previous days. I want to begin by defining the terms of flesh and spirit, because we read that there are two ways to sow. There is one, Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, there is a sowing unto the flesh, and there is a sowing unto the spirit. But what is meant by the flesh, and what is meant by the spirit? If we're to understand how a person sows to the flesh, and how a person sows to the spirit, then we must understand what these two terms mean. In the flesh, the terms of the term flesh, often in the Bible, it means the flesh of the body. It's talking about the human body. Often that's the way in which it is spoken of in the Bible. But frequently, it not only refers to the body, but it refers to the fallen, sinful nature, the soul and the heart and the mind. And that includes all aspects of the fallen nature: the mind, the heart, and the will. Look at chapter 5. We read from verse 19. There it speaks of the works of the flesh, and they are the physical works: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those all relate to the physical body and the works of the flesh of the physical body. But in verse 20 of the same chapter, it speaks about mental sins. Sins of seeking after false religion, idolatry and sorcery. Then sins relating to man, and they are the sins of the heart and mind. There is enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, before it then returns again to sins of the flesh. So here we are, and we're dealing, when we're talking about the flesh, we're not merely or simply talking about the human body. We're talking about the mind and the heart. The flesh in its total depraved, sinful nature. What of the Spirit? In verse 8, it speaks of sowing to the Spirit. The Word of God uses the word Spirit to refer to the soul in God's Word. But usually also it refers on occasions to the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's clear here that it's talking about that work of the Holy Spirit. We know that from the fact that it's speaking about the writer and the translators use a capital S in verse 8 to define the fact that it's the Holy Spirit that it's talking about. So when it talks about sowing to the Spirit, it's not just talking about sowing to the spiritual aspects of our lives. It's talking about our sowing unto God, the Holy Spirit. And tonight, every one of you has the opportunity to sow unto the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, God tells us, works through His Word. He works through the preaching of His Word. And so, the preaching of the Word, as it comes to you tonight, you have the privilege and the opportunity to sow unto the Spirit. Your response tonight, when you hear the Word of God preached, is actually a sowing unto the Spirit. Whether you listen to it and receive it as the Word of God, and then seek to put it into practice, we need that sowing unto the Spirit. We need the sowing unto the Spirit. There needs to be that hearing of the Word, that receiving of the Word, that believing of the Word. Or there can be a sowing of the Spirit, which means that you deny it, that you will not hear it, that you will refuse it, that you will reject it. And that denial is you sowing unto the Spirit. That's the response of you sowing unto the Spirit. So you have tonight the opportunity to sow to the Spirit, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or whether you don't. Every thought, every word, every act of your life is either directed towards the sowing to the flesh, or it's directed to the sowing unto the Spirit. There is no other sowing that you can do. In your life, there are only two fields that you can sow in. You either sow in the field of the flesh, the mind, the heart, and the will, or you sow in the field of the Holy Spirit. And each time you sow a seed of thought, each time you sow a seed of word, each time you sow a seed of action, you are establishing a body of material in your life that will dictate and determine your character. Every thought you think will lead you to make a choice. Every action that you do in response to that choice will have an impact on your life. I, like you, can look back on my life And I can see how my life has been shaped by the choices and the decisions that I have made. Certainly I have been influenced frequently and most often in my life for good. But my life is not the product of the influences that have been exerted upon it. My life is directly attributable to the choices that I individually and personally have made. The good choices, the poor choices, and the bad choices. Those thoughts that then flowed their way into actions, that then flowed their way into a lifestyle, is that which has framed and shaped the life of the person that I am. I stand before you tonight as the product of the thoughts and the choices and the decisions and the actions that I have made. You sit before me tonight. You are the product of your thoughts. You're the product of your choices. And you're the product of your actions. Other external influences may have affected those thoughts. They may have influenced those choices. They may have had an impact on the decisions that they have made. But to attribute to them that you have the life you have today because of their external influence upon you is wrong. It's a lie. It's a denial of reality. It's an abrogation of your own personal responsibility. The character that you have tonight is a direct consequence of your own thoughts, words, and actions. You cannot avoid that. You cannot flee from that. We are who we are because of that reality. And many of you sit tonight receiving the word of God with gladness of heart and delight. And the reason why that is the case is because in your thoughts you've had a desire to receive this word. And in those thoughts, you've not only had a desire to see this word, you have responded to those thoughts. And Lord's Day after Lord's Day, morning and evening, you have come to this place of worship and you have received the word of life as it has been breathed out to you. And you're glad to hear the word of God. You're delighted to hear the word of God. The preaching of God's word encourages you. The preaching of God's word enlivens you. And I know that because not a few of you say to me that that is the case in your life. That that's the reality in your life. That you're hearing of the word of God as it is sung, as it is read, as it is preached, has an enlivening effect on your life. It brings joy to your soul. It rejoices your heart. And that's a consequence. That has happened. You sit there tonight and you feel that because of the choices that you have made based on the thoughts that you have had. For others of you, that may not be the case. You may not have the same sense of joy, the same sense of peace, the same sense of expectancy, the same sense of enlivenment. And the reason for that is because of the choices you've made. You've made choices. Your thoughts have affected your actions. Your actions have determined your choices, and your choices mean that you're not here. Or you maybe are here physically, but you're not here mentally. And what is true of the past and the present also stands for the future. And this is the exciting thing about the Christian life. It is laced with hope. It's laced with hope. God and His way is the only way of hope. There is no other way of hope apart from God. And if our character at present has been shaped by the thoughts and the words and the actions of our past, then our character of tomorrow will be shaped by the actions and the thoughts and the words of today. And we can have a renewed character if we but set our face to the things of God. The Christian life is not a life that once you've experienced the sense of burden, I have failed, I have not done right. It's not a case of there is no hope for me. In fact, the absolute opposite is true. Our characters can be changed. Our characters can be affected. As you sit there tonight and you think to yourself, you know, as he was speaking there of the good choices that I've made in my life that sees me here tonight, and all I can think of is the poor choices that I've made. Well, then you just need to, if you're in Christ tonight, get it into your head that just as poor choices have been made in the past, so good choices can be made in the future. Your hands are not tied. You're no longer under the bondage of sin and Satan. He no longer holds you in the way that he formerly did. You're no longer under his dominion. That bondage has been broken through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. The application of that sacrifice to your life by the work of the Holy Spirit and your belief in Jesus Christ. You can tonight, as you hear the rest of this sermon, think about it and embrace it from the perspective of, I can begin from today to reshape my character in such a way that it will bring joy. Such a way that it will bring joy. It's in your hands. We are influenced by other people, but it's in your hands. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, and you've been that bondage to sin has been broken, it is in your hands. It's within your grasp. It's not within the grasp of anybody else. You can, by your thoughts, your words, and your actions, determine your character this day forth. What a glorious and wonderful thing that is. The flesh and the Spirit. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Well, it means to feed the sinful nature. Chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 and 21 speak of this sinful nature and the aspects of the feeding of the flesh. We've already mentioned it. You have the sexual gratification. You have the flesh as it's manifest in false religion. You have the flesh as it's presented in terms of sins against fellow men. Rivalries, angers, jealousies, dissensions. And then you have the sins of the flesh of personal excess. And all this sowing to the flesh has one root source. It's all traced back to the one place in our lives. It's all traced back to the head. It's all traced back to the mind. James writes, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. It all begins in the mind. Every act of sexual immorality begins in the mind. Every act of impurity begins in the mind. Every act of sensuality begins in the mind. Every act of idolatry begins in the mind. Every act of sorcery begins in the mind. Every act of enmity begins in the mind. Every act of strife begins in the mind. Every act of jealousy begins in the mind. Every act of anger begins in the mind. Every act of rivalry begins in the mind. Every dissension begins in the mind. Every division begins in the mind. Every envy begins in the mind. Every drunken orgy begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. All these things begin in the mind. There's a perception of the thing that I want. There's a visualization of how I can fulfill myself or satisfy myself. I believe in the receipt of that, whatever that is. And then when that desire that begins in the mind speaks to my heart, it moves my feet to engage and my hands to engage in that which is wrong. And you know that yourself. I don't need to spell that out. You know, men, that it begins in the mind with what you see. You know that to be the case. When we engage in acts of impurity, if you engage in acts of impurity, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. It begins in the mind. And woman, likewise, you know when there's the bitterness and anger and the rivalry. Not that men can also be bitter and anger and resentful as well. But it begins in the mind. There's a thought starts, a seed, a root that starts. Something is wrong. That aspect of the idolatry, it begins in the mind. You think about it. You allow it to dwell. It develops, it grows. You feed it, you water it. You've planted it. You allow the sun to come out and shine on it. You sit on it for a few hours, even a few days. And then when it's given fruit, you allow it then to translate from the mind into the heart, and from the heart into the hands and into the eyes and into the mouth, and everything else takes place. It doesn't just happen. It's fueled by the mind, by the want, the desire. No person has walked away from the things of God by simply walking away from them. At some point in their life, some point in their journey, there was a disinterest or a desire or a lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That bitterness towards God, that resentfulness towards God, put them in a place that was wrong, with wrong people at a wrong time. Instead of the mind working and saying, I'm in the wrong place, I'm with the wrong people, I'm at the wrong time here. Instead of the mind working in order to prevent the disaster that was impending, what happened was that the mind had so given fruit to this reality, it had so visualized this, it had so wanted this, that the mind, rather than restraining, the mind was the driving, motivating force. And the mind accelerated the pursuance after that which was wrong. The hands give fruit to that which the mind has already nurtured. But you see, there's an end to the sowing in the flesh. Because it says that what you sow, you will also reap. And those who sow the flesh, verse 8, will reap corruption, corrosion, decay. And we see it in our society today. That those who sow in the flesh, their bodies are impacted. Their minds are impacted, and not just for thinking. I'm talking about the cognitive ability of their minds. But note, it's not merely a present corruption. It's the eternal corruption. It's the eternal experience. Those who sow to the flesh, those who sow to the sinful, depraved nature, they will reap what they sow. And that reaping will be eternal destruction from the hand of God. It's a sobering thought. a very, very sobering thought. But sowing to the Spirit, is the potential, hopeful reality that awaits the believer in Jesus Christ. The one who sows to the Spirit is the one who pursues after the spiritual fruit that's spoken of in verses 22 and 23 and 24. The love, the joy, the peace of chapter 5, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. That's what stamps and marks out the Christian. The one who sows to the Spirit is the one whose goal it is to experience love and joy and peace. And many tonight in our society, in the town of Airdrie tonight, are seeking peace. But they're sowing to the flesh. And there is no peace. There's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no happiness. Whatever they're giving themselves to, they are extremely and extraordinarily unhappy. Whereas a believer in Christ, they have this privilege, this Christ-given privilege, because Christ has been crucified in the flesh, and their flesh has been crucified with Christ. Therefore, they are in a new place. They have a new hope. They have a new life. They have a new mind. They have a new prospect. And verse 16 is so applicable. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What a promise tonight to us who believe in Jesus Christ. What an absolute God-given promise that if we will walk by the Spirit, if we will walk onto the Spirit, as Christ will enable us, having separated us from the bondage of sin and Satan and the flesh, if we will do what Christ will do, say, will call us to do, we don't have to gratify the desires of the flesh. We don't have to give ourselves to it, men. We don't have to look longingly with the eye. We don't have to have that envy and that strife and that resentfulness. We don't have to have the idolatry. We don't have to give ourselves to Him. It says if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify. There's a promise there. It's not just a statement of fact. It's not a statement of, if you do this, you will not do this. It's a promise. If you walk by the way of the Spirit, then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it begins again in the head. It always starts in the head. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, Paul says. Put your head into that which is honorable. Put your head into that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely. He writes to the church at Corinth, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He writes to the church at Rome, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Starts in the head. If you set your mind on God, if you set your mind on the things of God, if you set your hope and faith on the ways of God, close your eyes and ears to the flesh, if you will but rest and wait patiently, if you will make a conscious, deliberate effort to invest your mind in what is good, if you take the instruction of God's word and do not be like the horse and mule and overthrow it, then your hands and your feet will follow in the same direction. If you sow to the Spirit in your mind, if you will listen to and receive the Word of God and strive to put to death the sins of the flesh, if you will seek after the opportunity that God gives you to know Him and love Him with all your heart, with all your heart. Young people, it doesn't work on a part-time basis. You cannot do it partially. You cannot do it because the sowing to the flesh is real in your life. The only way to do this is to go out to murder, sowing to the flesh. You cannot play with it. You cannot try it. You cannot seek to invest yourself in it to a small degree and say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, but I will experience this. You cannot experience it. You cannot experience it. We have prayed for you not to experience it. You don't have to taste the world to know it's stinking and bad. I don't have to sleep with another man to know that it's wrong. God tells me it's wrong. His word reveals to me it's wrong. Therefore, I know what? It's wrong if I go and try it and I feel it's wrong. No, it's wrong because God tells me it's wrong. My mind is set upon Him. My mind is set upon Him. And I'm saying to you tonight, young and old alike, you do not need to experience the world to find out whether it's wrong. God says it is wrong. God says the flesh will destroy you. It will destroy you. It will cause corruption and corrosion. Do you believe that or do you not? Do you still think, I am strong enough. I am strong enough. Well, I'll tell you, I have met Christians who believe they're strong enough to try it. And tonight they're nowhere in the kingdom of God. They were so strong. So strong. Not affect me. You sow to the flesh in thought, word, and deed, and you will reap the reward. You sow to the Spirit. And the reward is eternal. The reward is eternal. Why would anyone want to play the game when you have the prospect of sowing to the Spirit? The fact that you have been crucified with Christ and the flesh with its passions and desires are separated from you by the power of Christ. Why would you want to play with it again? God says, do not be mocked, or do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a hope we have as believers in Christ. We can flee the corruption. And I speak to you tonight, and if you have been meddling with the corruption, I say to you tonight, go home and resolve in your mind that you're going to begin to build a character marked by godliness. Go home tonight and repent. As you sit on your bed and repent. Repent of your seeking after the flesh. Men, go home tonight and repent of it. Women, go home tonight and repent of it. Young people, go home and repent of it. And say, I will resolve in my heart to seek to sow to the Spirit. I will sow to the Spirit because I can. Because of Christ's work in my life. I will sow to the Spirit because of the blessing in my life at present. I will sow to the Spirit because it will give me a life of joy and peace and freedom and patience and gentleness. And I will sow to the Spirit because the reward that I will reap will be eternal life. Eternal life. And tomorrow, you get up in the morning, you say, I'm setting my mind today to sowing to the Spirit. Do it. It's just not a preacher's line. Get up on Tuesday and saying, I'm sowing my mind today to the Spirit. Get up on Wednesday and say, I'm sowing my mind today to the Spirit. And as you sow your mind to the Spirit, and as you sow your heart to the Spirit, then your character will be affected and changed. You'll become godly, more godly. Increase. I'm not saying you'll never have a day when the conflict's always there. The conflict is always there. That's why you have to consciously engage in it. That's why some of you, have struggled. It's because you have not consciously engaged in it. You've not seen the threat for what it is. You've just let it drift in. You've come to Sundays and you've heard the word preached and, oh, that's good, that's not so bad. You've accepted it for what it is. You haven't actually consciously said, this is life and death. This is life and death. This is eternal life or eternal corruption. And you haven't got up every day and said, I am at warfare today against sowing the flesh. I'm committed to sowing in the Spirit. And if you give yourself to this campaign, and that affects your thoughts and your words and your actions, then you'll be building a character of godliness that will bring not only joy to you, but to everybody else around you. Everybody else around you. And do you know what Christ will do? He'll keep bringing people here to hear this because he'll see that you're hearing it and you're receiving it and you're believing it and you're doing it. And he will want others to see it in the real flesh, not the flesh of the world. He'll want to see it in your life and in the lives of others so that they can come and likewise build that same godly character is saved by his grace. What a hope. What a hope. What a prospect. Sowing to the Spirit onto eternal life. Amen.